Well, we're going to wrap up, as we said, starting a new series beginning next week, but wrapping up our series this week on this section out of the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, for those who have been reading along, we just looked at a little passage, a little piece, this idea of the prayer for the Ephesian church that Paul wrote to, and then his encouragement for the Ephesian church to continue to live as whole people, or continue to grow into the whole people that they were called to be. So let me just touch on it again. I'm going to pick up again in verse 17 of chapter 3. We're going to move into all the way through chapter 4, verse 3, which is going to be our verses for today. But we started this a few weeks ago when Paul's words were these: "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That was our foundation piece that we started this series off with. Paul's prayer for you and me, that we would be not only aware, but that at the very core of who we are, we would become aware constantly of how precious we are in God's sight because of the love which he has given to us. That's Paul's prayer for the church. Of all the things he could pray for the church, the one he chose to pray for was that we would begin to grasp how great God's love is for us. Not based on our behavior, not based on our achievement, not based on anything that we do. It is based on who God is and who he has created us to be. We moved in last week and we talked about chapter 4, verse 1, which is follows up on that. And that's where we pick up here today. So Paul then, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, "I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received." And again, we took a look at that last week, picking up on some of those themes about what does it mean for us to live now up to that standard, loved by God, set free from the insecurities that riddle our lives, and now being able to live true to ourself and fully for the purposes God has made us. But sometimes we struggle. What does that mean to say that I have a purpose or that I am called to live true and free and fully for God? How does that begin to look? How does, when the rubber meets the road, what does that look like? And that's where Paul takes us today. So for anyone who is wondering, it's good to know that I'm loved by God. It's good to know that I can be honest with myself. I can be true to myself. I don't have to put on pretense or wear a mask. But that I can move now fully out into these relationships in the world around us. What does that look like? And I'm so glad because in chapter 4, verse 2, it picks up this idea. This is what it's going to look like. Paul says to you and to me, this fullness of life in the fullness, living in the fullness of God and reflecting it looks like this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I want to just hold on to that and just let that soak in on for us in just a moment. Because that is what Paul says, that is what our goal should be. That as people, as we grow, as we begin to mature, that we begin to reflect these attributes. Okay. Maybe you heard this as a child growing up. Or maybe you didn't. I did. I love this answer, this question. The question was, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think it's a great question, and I think kids love to answer that question. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. But before we come back to that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to talk, this is just, again, walking us through the last couple of weeks. We saw that in the book, Healthy Me, Healthy Us, that I read and kind of was promoting a little bit, just saying this is a good book in it because it follows the same idea of what Paul was laying out for us in Ephesians. He says that if we come to have a healthy life, we're going to first be rooted in that profound significance of who we are. And I said, that's going to be rooted in God's love for us. Parrott and Parrott say that there's an unswerving authenticity to people who are healthy people. And again, I believe that is rooted in this invitation for us to be real as God has created us, not to have to wear masks or pretenses or be afraid of what others might say or criticize us for. And the third part, which we're going to see today, is going to be worked out. They call it self-giving love. I'm going to say that Paul refers to this as this being completely humble, gentle, being patient with one another, bearing with one another in love. That's what Paul is saying, that very same thing that they're saying. This becomes a hallmark for what it means for us to be whole, what it means for us to be mature. Now, but what do I mean by this? What do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe some people here or out there were thinking that when I was a kid, I wanted to become, I don't know, anyone in my generation, astronauts? No. Baseball player? Nurse? I was going to say nurse. I really was. Ballerina? Any ballerinas in the house? Okay. Teacher? Some people look, grow up saying, I want to, when I get up, growing up, I'm going to be a teacher. How about a cowboy? Anyone grow up wanting to be a cowboy? Oh, yeah. Gail? Mary? Okay, good. All right, now it's funny because neither of you are cowboys now, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm not a ballerina either. Of course, that was never my goal. Sorry, Anita. That was never my goal. Now, I wanted to be a baseball player, Carden. I wanted to be the guy who got up in the ninth inning, two outs, the bottom of the ninth, hits the home run, wins the game. And if you looked at the back of my baseball card, you would see I have no home runs. So that didn't become who I was. I'm okay first base, but I don't hit with much power, Bobby. I never have. But you, what was that thing when you were a child? Because kids like to talk about this. Because we like to imagine ourselves actually attaining that goal. You ask a kid, and they never say, oh, I don't want to tell you. No, they love to tell you, because this says a lot about who they are. Anyone else that had a childhood desire, a design? This is what I really thought I would be or wanted to be. Jimmy? You wanted to be an electrical engineer. Holy cow! You know, I think you're the first person I ever knew that said, as a child, when I grow up, I want to be an electrical engineer. Well done, you did it. Anybody else? Okay, the reason I asked that question is because I want us just to think about it. There is something about seeing a goal out in front of us, whether or not we're able to attain it, it is something that is important for us to say, this is the goal, where we are going. That this healthy life that Paul is talking about, not being riddled by our insecurities, not being constantly having to pretend or hide behind a mask, but enabling us to get up there, not being so held back by our insecurities, fear of failing, fear of someone not liking me, someone criticizing me, not being trapped by that, but being able to see even beyond my own brokenness, to see others and the needs of others, becomes the goal of what Paul says we as the church need to be setting our sights on. So let's take a look again. Before we can take a look at again. So this childhood thing, I love it that in the 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter famous for talking about love and the power of love, there's a verse there that the Apostle Paul says this, that when I was a child, I talked like a child. When I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I say that here because this is the same pattern that he's talking about here in Ephesians for us. That though we often get stuck in our childlike ways, we are being invited to grow into the believers that he has invited us to be, the humans, whole and complete and mature that he is inviting us to be, rooted in God's love, based in the sense of coming to understand myself and be true to myself, followed up by the ability now to extend to others. This rising above our own selfishness, looking beyond ourself, is this key. To be completely humble. To be completely humble. Which means not thinking only of myself. To be completely gentle. Which means not getting all riled up when people might want to try to rile me up. To be patient And that's not just patient with myself, but patient with others. Anyone else have a trouble with patience, or is it just me? You know, I am so consistently troubled by patience, whether I'm in the car, whether I'm at the store, whether I'm talking to someone who I just met or talking to people who I know so well. It's easy for me to become impatient when things don't go my way. And yet Paul says, rooted in love, true to ourselves. Now we're going to move to this next and final step, which is the ability then for us to wait, the ability for us to be gentle, to be humble, to be patient. We bear with one another in love. And I love that. Paul doesn't just say that we need to love one another. He could have said that. But just saying to bear with one another in love recognizes the fact that some people are just hard to love. And you got to bear with them. That's just a fact. And just because they're hard to love doesn't mean we get the excuse of not loving them. It's easy to love those who are lovable, but it's those in our lives that are difficult to love, that those are the ones that we need to bear with them and continue to be with them in love. It is so easy in our world to split off into camps, to find reasons to divide. And again, we talk about unity later on in the verse. But this idea of splintering off and they're over there and we're over here, and so we don't have to have any commonality. We don't have to come together. But the reality is that God calls us. This becomes that step of maturity. And maybe you've been growing in your faith, and maybe you've learned how to love those who love you, but maybe this loving your enemy or loving those who are not like you becomes the challenge for us, or those who are difficult at times to love. You know, I love the way the Message reads this, and I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Bobby Sheets, because Bobby Sheets, on his phone app, his Bible app on his phone, reads the Message. And I'm always hearing about, you know, that's a great verse, but the way it says it in the Message is just kind of cool. So Bobby, this one's for you. This is the verse that we just read, and it comes to us out of the Message. And I love the way Eugene Peterson has translated that for us. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily. Now here we go. Pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. Quick to mend fences. You know, sometimes I think we could even go one further. We need to be slow to take offense. It's a sign of our times, isn't it? The sign of our times that we take offense at things that were never intended for us to be personal. We get on things like social media, and all of a sudden, somebody says something about former President Trump, and you're angry about them saying something about President Trump. Or maybe someone says something that is positive about President Biden, and you race to your computer to unfriend them because you can't take the flack of having someone who has a different opinion than you. You know, that wasn't a slight at you. It wasn't intended to offend you. Someone's expressing their opinion, and it's called social media. If it gives your, it makes your heart beat too fast and your blood pressure go up too much, get off. But you don't have to stay in that place of being offended. But beyond that, the idea of somehow that we need to begin to be quick to mend fences becomes part of who we are. I love this, that we also have this sense of this alert at noticing the differences. Again, this is a call for us to be empathetic, to be able to walk a mile in the other person's moccasins, not to be offended by them and to separate, but to say, how can I understand what is going on in their life that would cause them to feel this way, that would maybe cause them to feel the sense of isolation or upset, that instead of jumping to fight fire with fire, we recognize that through empathy, maybe we can come to a greater sense of understanding. Alert at noticing the differences. You know, this isn't just out in the world around us. This might be even in our homes, in our families, with a husband and wife. That rather than reacting with a sense of being defensive because your spouse points something out, or your spouse reacts in a certain way, rather than becoming so insecure and defensive like I tend to do, maybe recognizing there's something else going on for the other and taking on those lenses of empathy where we are alert at noticing these differences. And finally, pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love. This becomes the key for us, and I think that is the final culmination of what Paul was getting after here, that this is the true hallmark of a mature Christian believer. This is the goal. When you grow up, this is what you want to be. You want to be that person who is able to pour yourself out. We often think that when I get to be a mature person, I will be able to gather it all in. No, Paul says that when you get to be a mature person, and that because of the love that Christ has poured out to you, and because that you are now being real with yourself, not afraid any longer, that you will find that you are completely whole by the way you give yourself away. There's a quote that I would like to highlight here for you. This comes from Mother Teresa, and I know that it's always good when I can quote something that she said, because she seemed to get it better than I do. And she said that not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. You know, that is in the ability of each and every one of us to begin to start our day and to open this day and to pray for our day. Not only praying, God, thank you for opening this day and for loving me and giving me a place and a purpose to go and to do and to be, but also in those places of purpose where I am going to do and to be, I'm able to go, enable me to find ways to do all that I do with a deeper sense of purpose, not just accomplishing a goal, but loving as I do. Not just interacting with that person who I know and I care about, but doing so as an act of love. Not just meeting that person who I don't even know, or interacting with that person who I don't know well, but that we bring that, and even in those interactions, we say the goal here is to pour myself out in acts of love. How could we change the world? And I think we can change the world, folks, because I believe that love has the power to change the world. And it's not because we get on the TV screen or on the computer or whatever. It's because we interact with one another in the places where God has set you, in those relationships where God has already guided your steps, in each and every one of those. If we are somehow to be able to express acts of love in each of those relationships, what a way of changing that world around us that it could be. This chain reaction of care and kindness and love that maybe gets seeded or began with this act of our touching someone and intentionally doing so as a gift of our love, pouring that out would be a powerful effect on the world around us. But we would also find that has a powerful effect on us, because this is what we've been created for. I'm not saying go out and do love because love is going to change the world. I'm saying remember that you are loved, and that part of your expression of now who you are is going to be found in these acts of love. How is it that you can reach to somebody, maybe someone who you would normally come in contact in a more loving way, or maybe someone you wouldn't come into contact with, but you intentionally reach out because that is the bridge of love that you want to walk today. What a world, broken and isolated as it is, that it might be if God's children were to be intentional about dwelling in His love and then taking that love to share with those around. So for a new vision for our world, for a new vision of who we are as we interact with our world, I'm going to pray over us today and pray that something of this love which God has poured into us begins to continue to just transform. Quick to mend fences, alert to notice those differences, and pouring ourselves out in acts of love. Father, I thank you that you have given us all the tools that we would have need for, that you have given us all the resources that we would have need for, that you have given us all the love that we would have need for, and you've provided all of the people that we would have need for to be recipients of that love that you desire to share through us. So, Father, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes, continue to recast our vision, continue to re-embolden us out of your love to truly be the person that you've called us to be, and to enable us to live this life of love that affects and infects this world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.